The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, 9 o'clock hour, and we have had... apparently, one of those moments. And I love it, and I am indebted to the young man who made it possible. And these moments happen when someone listens to the show, and they really do not like what I'm saying. And you could just go off in a huff. You know, it's like, don't go away mad, just go away. I never feel that way. If you're mad, call me. Tell me why. We'll have some lovely time together. It'll be compelling no matter what. And in this case, I'm talking about my new buddy, Kieran. Now, there are a couple of calls that are about that conversation. And so I want you to know kind of what happened if you're just getting in the car right now. Gentleman calls me 30 minutes ago. And there are so many lessons in this. As we all move forward through life as pro-lifers, if you are one, you know, we're all rooting for the Kavanaugh nomination. We all want the Constitution to be honored, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that's in the news and it's in the Supreme Court and it's politics and the judiciary and all those high, lofty things. But what about in your life? What about the pro-choicers in your life? Maybe in your family or among your friends. And maybe sometimes you have that difference. And so you just don't talk about it. And if that's the best way, I understand. But if you got somebody and they've got an open heart, an open mind, and somebody with whom you have a sufficient amount of comfort that you can talk about some of these things, this was I couldn't have written it better. I couldn't have scripted it better. Here's what I mean. And then we'll go straight to your calls on this and various other things. Gentleman calls, and I'm going through a whole lot of pro-life logic because I will do that because it's me. And everybody's always welcome to call and differ on anything, so he did. Boy, did he. He was mightily jarred by the high regard that I give to the baby even at the earliest stages of pregnancy. And he came to me with the clump of cells argument, the it's about a woman's body and nothing else argument, and just all of those things. And, you know, I consider that to be ghoulish. It is a complete wanton disregard for human life. But the gentleman, I mean, he was really exercised about this. And so I'm not going to sit here and go, baby killer, and hang up on him. What does that do, right? So we took a walk together, my buddy Kieran and I. We took a walk together. And the walk involved some moments where I asked him about that moment when a mom, she is a mom, goes to the doctor to hear something at 11 weeks. They go to hear what? The heartbeat. Whose heartbeat? The baby's heartbeat. So I said, my thought is that that is a distinct life worthy of protection. Why don't you think that it's worthy of protection? Why don't you? Really, I'm serious. I'm not saying that to be provocative or mean or put you on the spot. Why is that just a clump of cells to you when it simply isn't? And then we got into the notion of, and I love this, you know, that men are making decisions about, you know, women's bodies. No, men have an opinion on human life because men, like you and me, like Kieran and me, we have an opinion on human life. We have a role in the creation of the baby. You know, it takes two to tango. And that means we have a say as well. The pregnancy takes place within the woman, no doubt about it. The decision on whether, you know, when it's legal, the decision to be made to terminate a pregnancy will be made by the woman. You guys have the geography on your side. That's going to be your call. But as far as an opinion on what should happen, that is something that every man can and should weigh in on. So anyway, so we took a walk through this. And by the time we were done, I don't think I'd turned him into, you know, a pro-lifer, but we'd thought about some things and we listened to each other and he was grateful that he was on the show and I was grateful that he was on the show. And so if you missed that, just go get the podcast. Rhonda puts the podcasts up like within an hour or so after we're done and hit the 8 o'clock hour and go like halfway through the 8 o'clock hour. And the moment when I welcome Kieran and the ensuing moments are, they're just magical. And I love you, man. And I'm glad you called. I really, really appreciate it. And so that's a couple of people are going to refer to that. So now you know what they will be talking about. Okay, 866-660-5759. This entire opportunity, the Kavanaugh nomination and the enormous focus on Roe v. Wade has the whole country suddenly talking about abortion rights and pro-life matters and pro-choice matters and things like that. And I cherish it. I love it because it is an opportunity to have conversations like these about various things. And yesterday on the Elder Show, lady calls me from the 660 audience. Where was she? In Forney? I forget. Diane, I think. And she was a rape victim 41 years ago. And she was 16 and scared and had that denial thing going on and just thought, this will go away. It's like, what? Like I said, she was 16. Well, it didn't go away. She started to show, and she had not told mom and dad. So at some point, you're going to have the conversation. And even Catholic mom and dad, she says she didn't quite know how the vote went, but it wound up being a standoff. Like, who? I mean, there was one of them who said, we can't have this. Oh, no, no, no. You know, the Catholicism did not kick in. But ultimately, the right decision did. And so it's time to go to the doctor and time to see what's going on with the pregnancy. Well, I'll tell you what's going on with the pregnancy. Twins! That's what's going on with the pregnancy. Oh, my gosh. So the babies were born 41 years ago. And the other thing that Kieran gave us, and I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. You people on the right, you don't give a rat's patootie about, you know, you're just pro-birth. You don't care about the life afterward. And I said, my friend, that's a damnable lie. Stop saying that. We all want every child to have a healthy, fruitful, wonderful, loving life. But if it looks like that might be a dicey proposition, we do not instantly opt to the notion of killing it. And at one point, and again, this is almost like I was writing the script to make the most cartoonish excess of a radical pro-choicer, who said, you know, it might sometimes be an act of kindness to just go ahead and abort rather than have some life as an unwanted child. I've known a lot of unwanted children who grew up to be magnificent adults. Let's ask them. Let's run that by them. Would you rather have died, you know, in the second trimester or something like that? So it was every almost cliche that the radical pro-choice mindset will give you. And rather than bat it away and call him names and slap him around and hang up on him, we had us a conversation and I just loved it. So the reason I'm talking about the lady who called me last night in the Elder Show. Oh, and by the way, if you notice that I'll sometimes get really nosy, I'd rather ask a bunch of questions and have somebody go, Mark, I really don't want to talk about that. Okay, you bet. But because if they do, we're going to get something interesting out of it. And so she had these babies 41 years ago as a product of rape. And I asked her, you ever met them? And not only was the answer yes, they apparently have a continuing relationship over the last like 15 years. And she said, every time I see them, I am taken back to the decision that I made, the decision I made to choose life. And every time we're around each other, they thank me. So, and I said at the end of that call, you know, I can sit here all day with this radio show of mine and say stuff and correct stuff, moral stuff, uplifting stuff, upstanding stuff, constitutional stuff, biblical stuff, and that's great. But a story like that from a person like you, there's nothing that can match that. And here might be another one. No pressure. We're in Waxahachie. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks.
Well, in rebuttal to his call and the bundle of sales and especially the fact of, put them out of their misery so they don't have to have a hard life. Yeah. I was a product of a rape, and I did not have an easy life growing up. I grew up in an abusive home, and things were tough and not easy. However, through all that and seeing what I saw, I decided I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be the solution to that, and I became a men's minister.
Wow. And we would be denied your delivery of the word and the saving of who knows how many souls if somebody had decided, well, it was a rape and that's terrible, so let's just kill you. Now, we should, and boy, here we go. I just said I do this, so here I go. Let's not pretend that every rape victim who makes a magnificently moral and strong decision to go ahead and have the baby, that if she chooses to keep it, which I'm thinking is rare, or offer the child up for adoption. I assume that's what happened to you, correct?
No, I was raised by my mother.
Well, okay. Then in either instance, that doesn't mean that even though a very moral and strong and better decision has been made, better than killing you, that doesn't mean the childhood's going to go great and smooth and picket fences and unicorns. And so at what point did you just sort of take command of the situation? I mean, you probably took all the way till adulthood to say, I'm not going to let this define me.
It took a past adulthood. I dropped out of high school, and I had a son immediately after that. So he grew up in a house that was that struggled financially and everything else. Now I've made a career for myself in the working world, plus my ministry. And he's an honor roll student, fixing to be a senior. It's amazing. People forget, and my comment to the gentleman that said that comment, he forgets some of the greatest people to ever be came out of some of the hardest things that anybody's ever been through.
Of course, the whole unwanted child, poverty-stricken childhood, even abusive childhood. You know how many people have risen up, strengthened by that, determined by that to make a better world and a better environment for their kids? And you are a shining example of that, Dwayne. I am honored to hear from you. Thank you. All righty, we are in Dallas. Scott, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you? Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Two comments. One, I wish you would have asked him if he is a dad.
Ooh.
I think that really changed your perspective. And
ooh, Scott, you know what, though? Honestly, number one, great question. Do you know how many? Let's go to a pro-choice rally. Well, okay, let's go to a pro-choice rally right now with 5,000 people. They probably all got kids. It's not just single childless people. There are all kinds of people who have children, and they still consider the unborn to be expendable. Go figure. That's what the left does to your brain.
Well, let me tell you, my mother was a divorcee with three children, and I was a big oops on a one-night stand.
Mm.
Her mother, my grandmother, pressed her to have an abortion. This is in 1956.
Wow.
So there's no, remember the stigma back then.
Yep.
My mother opted not to.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 12 years old, the neighborhood I grew up in, I was firmly convinced that everybody had a police record because everybody I knew did.
Yes, sir.
Hells Angels, Boggos, gangs, drugs were all a part of my growing up.
Uh-huh.
We had the beginning of year school riot. I grew up on the outskirts of Los Angeles.
I was going to say, I detect California here somewhere. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But let me fast forward. I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I will tell you. I've been married for 40 years. I've raised three kids. My son served two terms in Iraq. My other daughter is a pretty accomplished artist. I serve as a volunteer minister in the Texas prison system. My career has gone forward. I've helped employ people. And I have literally saved two lives. One guy who was ready to commit suicide, I picked him up off the side of the road, talked him down, and we're friends to this day 30 years later.
Well, I want to tell you something. You do not strike me as someone, and you just said, you know, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I'm going to reach through the phone line and not just pat you on the back, but embrace you fully, tell you how much I love you, tell you how much I appreciate the call, the way in which you've touched people's lives, and it was from a really tough circumstance of birth and a really tough childhood and a really tough neighborhood, and look at you now. God bless you, Scott, and thank you. I have a feeling I could take calls like this every day for the rest of my career. And you know what? But for Kieran's call, we wouldn't be doing this. And he kind of said, I got to go. So I don't know if he's had a chance to listen, but I hope so. Or maybe hit the podcast there, my boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to thank you for the favor you've done to the show, for the initial conversation we had, and for the people now joining us to have a word with you and about you with love and outreach and tolerance for divergent views. But what does Scripture say? What does it say? Speak truth with love. Speak truth. Truth with love. 923. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. On Christine McVie's 75th birthday.
Everything you do is just all right.
Visiting some of that Fleetwood Mac catalog that she wrote and sang on. From Rumors. Little old daddy.
Oh, daddy, you soothe me with your smile.
Now let's get into our bottom of the hour pause. Then we'll come back, get some calls. The first thing we're going to do is a little segment called Women Weighing In on This Notion That Only Women Can Have an Opinion About Abortion. That should be good. So, Becky, Kathy, sit tight. Be right with you. And then Adrienne Bankert, who used to work at Channel 11 and now working at ABC. She's been over in Thailand covering the cave rescue. She's taking a look at some of the amazing stories of the rescuers. I got a little piece from her. So a lot. We're going to cram a lot into this final half hour. Make it a part of your day, all right? Coming up here in a sec, Nikki Whaley in for Gordon in the newsroom. A lot going on in the news, and some of it we don't even know about until we ask. So let's go to 25th District Congressman Roger Williams for a quick update. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, Mark. Good morning to you.
I know it's a Senate thing, and everything's happening over in the Senate with the confirmation, but I just want your reaction to the convulsions from the left on the naming of a thoroughly able and decent man to the Supreme Court.
Well, you're exactly right. And, of course, they were prepared to attack whoever the president named. As evidence, you probably saw the press release they put out with the reasons not to support this person. And then you plug in the name when the name was announced. So they were already prepared to go against any name. But I think Brett Kavanaugh is a great selection. I've always said, and I've talked to you about it, I wasn't looking for a justice that will go right or left, but one that will look at the Constitution and says this is what it says and react accordingly. And I think he will exactly do that. I think he'll get confirmed certainly before the election, and I think that we'll see some of the Republicans that have expressed concerns that they'll get on board and we'll get him nominated and get him through the process.
Anytime we have any of you from the North Texas congressional delegation, we can talk about big, broad things in the news, but sometimes there's stuff that I don't know enough about that is from your specific world. Tell me about your school security bill.
Well, school security is something that's been paramount on my mind, as has most people, since Santa Fe and Parkland. And we have done nothing up here in Congress, Mark, since those shootings to do anything to secure our schools. And we filed a bill right after Parkland, 5107, that allows to take the $63 billion budget that the Department of Education has and allow Secretary DeVos to receive grants from individual school systems or individual schools on what they needed to secure their property, and she will take those grants and pay them for that. And every school is going to be different. One school may be more people on the ground. One school may need bulletproof glass. One school may need or metal doors, whatever it is. But what's more important than securing our kids and teachers that this Department of Education can do than that? So it gets bipartisan. We're getting a lot of signatures on it. I'm working really hard this week to have something ready to go before school starts, because it'll be here quickly. And I think we have to have a plan to secure these schools.
Indeed. And if you bring up the subject of things Congress needs to do something about, boy, haven't we had a couple of months of talking about the border and the family separations, which, of course, you know, tear at our hearts. But everybody looks to Congress to do something about the way borders are handled. And the simplest truth of life is that if mom and or dad break the law, there could well be a family separation. But it's brought a lot of focus to how we kind of handle families coming in illegally. What do you want to see done?
Well, I want to see we're a land of laws. We have laws, and people need to obey by the laws. And there's nothing more gut-wrenching to see a child and a parent, as you say, displaced. But the fact of the matter is we've got to secure the borders. We've got to ask people to come through the ports of entry, not between. I think, and we cannot promote amnesty. That continues to drive people up here. We can't promote amnesty. We need to do it by the letter of the law. And, you know, down the border, and I've been there many times, even when I was Secretary of State, there's some tragic scenes down there. But the fact of the matter is there's about 2,000 people that have their parents. There's about 8,000 that don't have any parents. And, you know, what do you do with these folks? And so we need to look at the laws. We need to adhere to the laws. We need to secure the border and ask people and promote people to go through the ports of entry. Then we can begin to help them.
All right, last thing, we're a few months away from the election. A lot of attention paid on keeping the majority in the Senate. One presumes we'll keep the majority in the House. There's some people thinking we might expand it. I know that it's the first off-year election after a presidential, and usually the pendulum swings away from the victorious president's party. I just don't know this time, Roger. The left is so unhinged and the economy so strong. I mean, I don't want to go crazy optimistic here, but I think it's possible that we could avoid that. We could dodge that bullet that sometimes comes in a first off year election.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, we're going to keep the House. But I think, you know, the idea that we could maintain the numbers we got is quite possible. Look, we have Republicans have solutions, and we also have results. I mean, look at tax cuts, look at jobs, look at unemployment. It goes on and on and on, and people are feeling the positiveness of what this president has done through the economy. We're beginning to strengthen our military. A lot of good things happen, and I can tell you, being a businessman, a small business owner, we deal with consumers every day, and they get a little extra hop in their, in their step. They feel good about it. So when you merely look at the numbers, it's going good, but you can't take anything for granted. It's going to be tough. But we will maintain that. We will maintain the House. I think, you know, Democrats, you can't win on impeaching the president, and you can't win on a program that has no solutions to an economy that's working right now. So we have to do what we know best. Let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about the military. Let's talk about less expenses. Let's talk about things like the 10th Amendment, and I think we'll be fine.
The margin right now, it changes almost weekly with various things happening in a group of 435 seats. We have 193 Democrats, 236 Republicans, a pad of 43. That's a nice pad, but you never can tell. And everybody should know before anybody gets comfortable or complacent that if the Democrats do indeed regain the House and Nancy Pelosi indeed becomes Speaker, impeachment articles will be filed that day.
No question about it. And that's not a winning message, I believe, for the Democrats, but that's what they will do. The election is very important for Republicans, and the fact that we have a margin, but we're also, as you know, losing 40 some odd of my colleagues that are leaving, just retiring, and so forth. So there's a lot of work ahead of us. It's whoever gets the vote out's going to win. I think we have the message. We have the economy going for us. So I think that's a winning formula, but everybody's going to have to work hard and get the vote out. That's the name of the game.
The 25th District, sort of southwest corner of the Metroplex proper, swinging on down into the western burbs of Austin. That's the Big 25. Congressman Roger Williams, williams.house.gov on the web and on Twitter at Rep R. Williams. Roger, always a joy. Hope summer's going great for you and the family. We always love having you.
God bless you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Roger Williams, Congressman Roger Williams. We love him. All right. Okay, so I mentioned coming up here, women weighing in, because one of the things my new buddy Kieran, a call from roughly an hour ago that everyone must hear. Go to the podcast, listen to the middle of the 8 o'clock hour, and just go. Just go. It was great. I'm so glad that he called. We covered some ground. And one of his, you know, familiar pro-choice talking points was that as men, it's kind of funny, he is a man. But apparently the only problem is me and my manhood coming in with my man-type opinion that, you know, maybe that's an unborn life in there that ought to be left alone. So it appears that we are now up for a couple of moments of women weighing in on the only women can have an opinion on abortion thing. We're in Keller. Hey, Becky, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I am great, Mark. It is so great to talk to you again.
Thank
we
you.
Met at the Eagle Gun Range at one of your book signings.
Yes, that's what a great place to meet. Thank you.
And we shared my NASA letters from Gus Grissom.
Of course, of course.
And I gave you the Buzz Aldrin book.
Oh, my God. His book about Mars, absolutely. Thank
yes.
you.
Have you gotten through that?
Oh, and only that day. Only that day, Becky. Thank you so much. What's up today?
Well, about Karen. And when life begins, mm-hmm. 34 years ago, I decided to have an IUD put in for birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd done that before, back in the early 70s, before my boys were born, and had no problem with it. So years later, I decided to have it done again, and the doctor gave me a little brochure. I don't know why I read it, because I'd already had it done before.
Right.
But I sat down and read it when I got home, same day, read it when I got home, and there was a phrase in there that struck me. It said, prevents fertilized egg from implanting.
Right.
I broke into tears. I was in near hysterics. I called the doctor. I said, I want this out of me now. He took it out the next day. My daughter was born almost 9 months to the day.
Whoa,
later.
Whoa, there's timing.
Yes.
So just in looking at the mechanics of exactly what was going on, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you saw the reference to fertilization, and you thought, wait a minute, if fertilization has happened, that is the beginning of
abortion.
It's the beginning of the building blocks of life, and maybe I don't want to do anything to impede that process that God made.
Right.
Wow. Thank you. And I'm not the only one who thanks you. Becky, thank you very, very much. In Dallas, Kathy, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Mark, my skin crawled when I was listening to that call earlier, because he said that you didn't have a right to weigh in because you didn't have a uterus.
Yeah.
Well, I happen to have one, and I've had a child,
yes,
and she's an adult now, and she's pregnant, and I'm obviously pro-life, but my point was it bothers me when liberals get off on their rants about, you know, their rights and women's rights.
I know.
But what about the fundamental right of every human being to be born and not to be killed in the womb?
Yeah, isn't that kind of the first one? Doesn't every right sort of proceed from that? It presumes that you're actually here on the planet, living, breathing, walking around, so you can have all these other wonderful rights. And everybody, and it's, you are, people like you are the worst enemy in to the left in this debate, a pro-life woman, because all they want to do is say it's about women, women's rights, women's health care. And again, it's another example. I can say stuff all day, but if you do, it's double and triple the value, because you are a woman, and we can confirm you do indeed have a uterus. Thanks for that. And you're staunchly pro-life, and it's of unbelievable value. Kathy, thank you enormously, enormously. Okay, so anybody remember like 6 years ago on Channel 11? I think she was on in mornings for a bit and anchored. Adrienne Bankert, wonderful reporter, and then she went off to Los Angeles and hit the big time, and now she's at ABC. And being at ABC, guess where they sent her? Thailand. She has been covering the aftermath of the rescue.
They're saying this was so unreal. Many saying this was the most challenging dive they'd ever taken on. Another describes how in a full wetsuit with all that heavy gear, at some points they're diving in the cave, at other times trudging through the mud, all while carrying those children out on stretchers from that cave. This morning, you can see that highly calculated plan in action. New video shows how teams of expert divers pulled those 12 boys and their coach from the belly of that cave.
Our job was to get the kid out from the water, take the full face mask off, put him in the stretchers, gently holding their hands so that they don't get tangled.
That's one of the divers named Miko Pasi.
There's this stress, they don't start to pull their mask off.
Divers from around the world who came to assist in the rescue are speaking out for the first time about conditions inside that cave as oxygen ran low.
If you could rank 1 to 10, how hard this was. 13, 17.
Huh. You couldn't see this. It wasn't until you actually touched your own mouth that you could actually see your hand. I mean, just pointing herself along a rope and smacking her head into rocks. We did exit the cave fairly quickly.
Describe the feeling rippling through the camp there at the cave when everybody knew we got the last boy out, we got the coach out. It's a wrap.
It was actually quite silent when you kind of like, this actually worked.
A Thai diver from Bangkok says he was very familiar with the area's dangerous caves.
How many of you?
But he never imagined that this could ever happen.
The really first day I arrived there on Monday night, started working side by side with the SEALs team on the Tuesday morning. This is the most difficult dive I have ever been to.
This video shows them being carried all the way out. One of the soccer players seen on a stretcher wrapped in a blanket before medical teams quickly step in to transport him to the hospital.
The Adrienne Bankert, a local girl, makes good. She lived in Fort Worth when she worked at Channel 11, because Channel 11's over there, and then to LA, and then to ABC, and now to Chiang Rai, Thailand, where she did a great job on that. And, you know, thank God they're out, and thank heaven for those rescuers, but let us also remember Saman Kunan, the retired Thai Navy SEAL, who was part of this rescue effort, who gave his life to this rescue effort. We lift him up in our memory as well. Mark Davis, 950. The year was 1982. Album was Mirage. Lay down the needle on that record. You get Love in Store. Written by Christine McVie, who is 75 today. Holy cow. And gearing up for the big Fleetwood Mac tour. Should be cool. Alrighty, tomorrow's show should be cool. Big Friday show. Are you ready? We'll take a look at the week gone by. A few big things in the news, I guess. So till then, for producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K. on Twitter, R-O-N-D-A capital K. Shane Bell doing all the technical things and wonderful things that we love every day. Shane Bell Band on Facebook, Twitter, and ShaneBellBand.com. News ace Gordon Griffin's on vacation this week. And we're enjoying the talents of Nikki Whaley. We appreciate her. So call of the day, maybe call of the week, maybe, I don't know, the year. Listen to my buddy Kieran on the podcast that Rhonda will put up here within the hour or so. Go to the middle of the 8 o'clock hour. And when I say Kieran, you're on 660 AM The Answer. Just give yourself about 8 minutes and turn off the phone and shut the door. Because fascinating things occur thereafter. All right, occurring thereafter right now, Mike Gallagher Show here on 660 AM The Answer. Let's kick off the weekend with a Friday show tomorrow. See you in the morning at 7, right here on 660 AM The Answer. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a great day.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.